Well, thank you, Mike, for your introduction. So many of these opportunities are either that I have experience for about, or my colleagues that they have had experience for some of the international opportunities from the U.S. and East Asia. I don't know whether you can tell I am from China. I probably look the same as all the Chinese women coming to the conference, or those from Korea or Japan. But so some of my my own experience has been focused in China, as I still have a family there. So that's the biggest draw for me for the international activities. The first thing I want to start with, this grant program, USDA International Science and Education, it was only a six-year program. It's rest in peace now. It was a great grant program that really connects the teaching, research, and extension programs in the U.S., the faculty and students. And because I am an extension specialist, I was also able to take growers with me. I call them agriculture professionals to China. We just, you know, learn different things. So for me, the specific project was the U.S.-China partnership for strengthening research, education, and extension in season extension production and marketing. It started when I was at Mississippi State. And I would consider myself as one of the driving force that, you know, promoted high tunnel production in the state of Mississippi before I left for the bigger state of Texas. But during those 3 years, we had 56, a total of 56 participants from many universities, you know, students, professors, growers going to China, and you know, the students were required to do a blog. They all contributed this blog, and this particular one was Aggie Hort Goes to China. So, you know, they just learned a lot and shared their experience with their peers. So it was a good project, but then it was terminated, and you know, it looks like it's not gonna be brought back. But I think USDA kind of, you know, did away with the ISC project, but you will find so many of these international opportunities in these specific RFAs that they will have like international partnership or engagement, or for international partnership or engagement, travel and student international experiences. So although we don't have international science education, but I wanna bring your attention to these two. So these are all these. I apologize for the small fonts on these two slides. But I wanna bring your attention to these two specific programs. One is Higher Education Challenge Grant. So that's HEC, and in that specific one, you know, in addition to just international collaboration, this one has specifically some international education and research component in it. And of course, this is a very competitive. I think the funding rate was about 22%. Personally, I had a HEC grant, but at that time, it did not involve any international education and research. I think after, you know, USDA did away with ISC, HEC is one of the major things if you're working with the students. If you're working with the students, mainly, for instance, study abroad trips, that would be very appropriate for HEC. And of course, the other one is a specialty crop research initiative, and in that, international partnership, linkage, and exchange is definitely, you know, you can include that in it. We wrote a grant on Kramer-Lavark scale this year, and because a Kramer-Lavark scale is an exotic pest from East Asia, and, you know, during that time we were worried whether we could write some international component in it. But from the program officer, from the SERI program officer, you know, you could definitely write that in it as long as you provide enough justification. I have two grand experience with the USDA FAS Scientific Cooperation Exchange Program with the People's Republic of China. That's where I got my education. So this was signed between USDA and the China's Ministry of Ag to exchange science and technology teams in agriculture in order to promote agricultural cooperation. I'm not going to read all that. So how does it work? The SEP allows the U.S. and Chinese research teams to visit the partner country for up to 14 days in order to transfer knowledge and technology in agriculture. The teams may consist up to 5 participants plus 1 interpreter. And then, you know, the USDA and MOA consult with the research team to design this multi-city program agendas that initiates or strengthens linkage between our academic, public, and private institutions. 2017, these are the priorities. These are the 8 priorities. When I wrote the my grant, my 2017, the project that I'm interested in did not fit in any of these. The thing that I'm interested in is the crepe myrtle bark scale. It's a pest that affects mainly crepe myrtles and sometimes pomegranate. So I look at all these. I called and emailed the program officer many times. I said, this is what I want to do. How can I fit it in, these 8? And he said, well, you know, we set the priority areas very broadly. So, you know, you have to fit in one of these 8. If you're not, you know, if you don't, you're definitely not going to get funded. So I looked. I picked adjusting agriculture practices in response to climate change, climate resilient agriculture. I think anything, if you're doing production, I think anything you could probably fit in climate change. You could throw yourself in the big pool of climate change. Unfortunately, we did not get this 2017 around this round, but we'll definitely try in the future. I did not write the international component in my SCRI, and unfortunately we got it this round. So I should have put it in. At that time I was afraid that the international component will hurt my chance of getting funded, but I'm gonna keep trying. You know, I think this is a great opportunity to bring additional international component, you know, to complement the work. This 2017 was the first year that USDA provide $5,000 per U.S. teams. And then MOA, the Ministry of Ag, covers all the in-country program. So that's for the U.S. teams. So previously, the USDA never provided any funding. So we had one in 2012. In that 2012, at the time, I was working on season extension production, you know, high tunnels and stuff. So in 2012, that was the title of our project. So we went to China looking at high tunnel production and everything. Those are the team members. Dr. Jim Robbins was very funny. He calls himself the token white man on the team, with the others, you know, being myself and other female faculty from SEC institutions. So we visited many research institutions and universities in China for that project. And then my second one was the U.S.-China Scientific Exchange on Sustainable Specialty Crop Production. And those are the 4 team members. Myself, Gary Knox from Florida, Yan Chen from LSU, and Dave Creech from SFA State University in Texas. Again, you know, visiting the grower flower associations, the universities, doing seminars, you know, try to pick their brains on many of the things, and it was, and we even met another group of team from U.S. from the U.S. and the one sitting in the middle there, that's Richard Olson from U.S. Arboretum. Many seminars. So the most important impact for me on this project was that we established connection with the crepe myrtle bark scale experts in China and collaboration within the team member. So in that little photo there, that's the team member. That's a partial list of our team member of this SCRI grant that we got to work on crepe myrtle bark scale. And as you can see that, you know, Dr. Yan Chen from LSU is there, Dr. Gary Knox from University of Florida is there too. It actually started while we were on this 2013 exchange program, we saw how bad that the crepe myrtle bark scale was in some areas in China. So Gary and I, while we were in China, we submitted a very small grant, $2,000, to Center for Applied Nursery Research. And that just snowballed. We gradually add 0, 0, 0, 0, you know, behind that grant, and eventually we got a $3.3 million SCRI grant to combat this project. Yesterday at the Asian Working Group meeting, Dr. Max Chen from University of Tennessee mentioned about the interest of the CS, the Chinese Society for Horticultural Science, you know, in the collaboration that they want to have with ASHS. So CSHS is just kind of part of ASHS, and I did not attend the CSHS annual meeting, but I was invited to speak on the difference between the U.S. and China ornamental industry, you know, the difference between the two countries' ornamental industry at 2015 ornamental CSHS annual conference, and that's one of the main meeting places that you see that you know for the ornamental CSHS annual conference, and that's 600-700 people attending the conference, and their sole interest is on ornamentals. That's what my job is, you know, it's on commercial ornamental production. So it's different from, I think it's about 700 people here at ASHS attending the conference, but that one is 700 people attending the ornamental CSHS annual conference. So just huge opportunity. And that is just a great opportunity for networking to get to know these people from different provinces and everything. And you may wonder, how's their English? Their English is actually very good. And of course, I didn't speak English to them. But I assure you, because there are some of the colleagues who are CSHS members that they are here for ASHS. But great opportunities, and that led to my 2017 trip. So there's no funding, there's no USDA funding, but I was able to get some funding from growers, So we were looking, so tie in my extension specialist job as, you know, for the commercial horticulture industry. We're always looking for new plant materials for you know, better materials, just new, different. And the second is my interest in crepe myrtle bark scale. And also my third interest in tea production, and that's a failed SCRI attempt. But, you know, you still gotta do the work to push for the next one. So we had a 2-week trip in China looking at different plant materials, you know, potential germplasms to bring back, and also for tea, you know, for some of the tea research and stuff. That one, for instance, that's a rare cycad collection. I was told by the curator, he said, you cannot show the cycad in any any form of format, so that's why I had to block that one. And then, yes, and the Miracle rubra, it's just such a great plant. It's the same genus as the Miracle cerifera, but the fruit is like strawberry, is edible. So many of things. And I was educated in China, and I know that we have lots of landscape materials that, you know, that in the U.S. that are native in China, but it was still mind-boggling to see there's still so many things to be discovered, to be utilized. So these are just some examples of potential collaboration. In that conference, that ornamental conference, is really a great place to start networking. And all these germplasm exchange, training opportunities, workshops, you know, collaborative proposals, these would just flow. There are a lot, not like the USDA kind of got away with ISD project, but there are so many international collaboration projects that provided by Ministry of Ag in China. So once you get to know those people, those things will flow in. So other USDA FAS opportunities include so these are the Cochrane Fellowship program is still, I think the deadline is in October. All the others, like the Nepal Tea Project, the others are all past the deadline for this year. But these are some of the things that, you know, you could think about for next year. All right, we're going to move from, I spent a lot of time in China, but let's go to the Republic of China. Sometimes we call it Taiwan. Taiwan has a lot of programs. For instance, visiting science and technology personnel. There are different levels, like lecturers, visiting personnel, postdoctorals. So most of us will probably fit in the visiting personnel. We probably don't have a Nobel Prize laureate sitting here. I don't imagine. But those are just different levels and different length of for visiting scientists, science and technology personnel. And pretty much everything is covered, even the salary differential subsidies. So, you know, not just the airfare, not just the research development fees, and then the research scholar and implementation of specific topic research projects. So similar, you know, to the previous funding agency, the program, but then it's, you know, you got longer years, 1 to 3 years or even 3 to 5 years. And then new partnership programs, and then also funding for short visits, that's just 7 days or longer. And nice thing is the Ministry of Science and Technology has like 4 contact in the U.S. Then Japan. I may have to stop just the Chinese part. I want to point your direction to Japan Society for the Promotion of Science, and also the Korean the Brain Pool Program, the Korean Brain Pool Program. So very similar to the Taiwan program. You know, the nice thing is that some of these programs pay the differential salary subsidies. So would be great for Cochrane fellowship research to do it, or a developmental leave, no, sabbaticals in these countries. So that's sorry, I'm running out of time. The last thing that I want to mention is that they're all as friendly as I am, and we don't bite. So take a dive in a very different culture in the Far East. Thank you for your attention.